Well, I want to welcome everybody here in the room, those joining us on the stream and on TV, and all of our multi-site campuses all over Albuquerque and also in Belize. We're grateful for each and every one of you. We're in the middle of a series called Parables. We're looking at the stories of Jesus, so I thought we'd start our time together by me telling you a story I heard Kyle Idleman share. You know, Nero was the ruler for the Romans in the first century. He was a rich man. He was a very powerful man. He was married to a very beautiful woman. Did you know that he had her bathe in donkey's milk every single day? I mean, he had a whole corral. This is history. He had a whole corral of donkeys because donkeys don't produce a lot of milk, just to give her a bath every day because he likes soft skin so much. But in a strange twist of fate, did you know that woman died when she was 30 years old because she was lactose intolerant? Okay, that was a joke. That was a joke. But she was bathed every day in milk. They took swan's feathers and they dried her. They took the mucus of crocodiles and they massaged her hands and her feet, all in an effort to make her the softest woman on the face of the earth. Do you know when Nero was 25 years old, he built a huge idol, 250 feet tall, and guess whose image was on the top of it? If you guessed Nero, you would be absolutely right. There was no one bigger, no one greater than Nero in the first century. Did you know that during the time of Nero, there was another person who walked the face of the earth, and his name was the Apostle Paul? Now, Nero was a good-looking guy. You'd have put him on the cover of a GQ magazine, but Paul, not so much. The scripture kind of describes Paul as kind of a short person with bow legs, and he also had scars all over him from all the times that they had beat him for proclaiming that Jesus had risen again from the dead. Nero had everything and wanted everything. Paul, on the other hand, learned to be content in each and every situation. Nero was all about building his kingdom. Paul was all about building up the kingdom of God. Nero wanted to make his name great. Paul just wanted to make the name of Jesus great. Nero was a hero. Paul was a zero. Nero was hot. Paul was not. At least that's how it went down in the first century. Did you know how Nero died? 4 years after Paul was executed by Nero, he had his head chopped off. Nero found himself in quite the predicament. His second wife had killed his first wife, and in a fit of anger and rage, he kicked his second wife in the stomach, her pregnant stomach. The baby died as a result, and so did the woman. Nero retreated to a friend's apartment, and it was there that the most powerful man on the face of the earth ended his life. Yeah, in the first century, Nero was all the headlines. No one ever heard about Paul. But as time went on, isn't it interesting that there are lots of buildings, cathedrals, named after the Apostle Paul? And I can't think of a single structure that has the name Nero on it. As far as we can tell through history, Nero never wrote a single thing. And yet God used Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to write almost half the New Testament. And if you're anything like me, God's used those words in my life to change the trajectory of my life. Don't you find it interesting that people still to this day name their children Paul or Pauline? But you never find a single Nero, do you? No, we name our kids Paul after Paul. We name our dogs after Nero. What was the difference between the two? One hated everything about Jesus. The other honored Jesus with his life. Friends, the best I can tell, you've got some choices to make about your relationship with Jesus. And here's the thing, it's a personal relationship, isn't it? You decide. You decide how deep you want to be, how close you want to be to Jesus with every decision and every choice that you make. And are you ready for this? According to Jesus, you got four choices. There's only four ways that you get to approach Jesus. And so as we're going through this new story that Jesus is going to give, I want you to think about which one represents you. Which one most describes who you are today in your relationship with Jesus Christ? The story is the story of the parable of the sower. It's found in Luke chapter 8. We're going to start with verse 5. Let's look at it. Jesus said, there's a farmer, and he went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and it was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. And some fell on some rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, this is the funniest way that Jesus would do things. He'd get a crowd together, he'd tell a quick little story, and then he would say something like, "He who has ears, let him hear." And then he would just kind of walk away. And he would leave the people to try to figure out what the story was about. He wanted them to kind of mentally think on it and chew on it a little bit to get the spiritual meaning of what it was behind. You know, can you imagine if I did that today? I mean, my job would be so easy. I just come out, tell you one story, and then I say, "He who has ears, let him hear." And then I just walk on out. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? That's what Jesus would do. Well, there's a large crowd on this day. Jesus tells this story. Says, "He who has ears, let him hear." And I can see the disciples. This is how messed up my mind is when I read scripture. I can see the disciples as Jesus is telling the story going, "Yeah, Jesus, you tell him. You tell him about the farmer who went out to sow his seed. You give it to him, Jesus." And they didn't have a clue what he was talking about. Because after he got done with the story and Jesus said, "He who has ears, let him hear," we find out the disciples don't have any ears. Because they come over to Jesus and they say, "Would you please tell us what in the world that story was about?" And aren't you glad they did? Because we have the meaning to the parable. Let's look at what Jesus said. He said, "This is the meaning. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they might believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they don't mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop." Okay, here's how the story goes. There's a farmer. Who's the farmer? God's the farmer. He's sowing his seed. What is the seed? It is the word of God. And as he's throwing his seed over here and over there, there's four different soils that the seed falls on. See which one most represents you. Starts off by saying the first seed fell along the path and was trampled, and the birds came and ate it up. Now, this is the soil that represents the hard heart towards God. Now, here's what's interesting. Every single one of us has met somebody who was hard-hearted towards God. Just bring up the name of Jesus. Just invite them to church, and my goodness, they will go off on you. They will yell at you and cuss at you and chew you out, and they'll let you have it, won't they? Because they don't need God's love. They don't need God's grace. They don't need God's forgiveness. They don't need someone dying for them. One day when they die, they'll get to heaven because they are a good person. We've all met them. We've all had an encounter with them. We've all been chewed out at some point in time in our life by somebody who was so mad and so angry with God. That's if they even think about their eternity. There's a lot of hard-hearted people that just could care less about spiritual things because they never even think about eternity. They don't think about the fact that there's going to be a day when they're going to breathe their last breath on this earth and they're going to breathe their first breath either in heaven or hell. It never even occurs to them. It never crosses their mind. They're so busy living in the here and now, working for the weekend, that they're not even thinking about eternal things. There are two things that cause someone to have a hard heart towards God, in my opinion. One is pride, just arrogance. I don't need God telling me how to live my life. I'll do what I want to do when I want to do it. When I got myself in this mess, I'll get myself out of it. God is nothing more than a crutch for weak-minded people. Pride. will give you a hard heart towards God. You ready for the second one? Pain. If you can get past the initial anger from these folks who have a hard heart, and you say, whoa, hey, just tell me, why are you saying this? What has happened to you that has made you come to this conclusion? You know what they'll tell you? They'll tell you a gut-wrenching story. They'll tell you about a family member, maybe a mom or a dad, a grandparent, maybe a son or daughter who passed away. They'll tell you about a time when they prayed and they asked God to intervene in their situation and change their circumstance, and God didn't do it. God didn't do what they wanted God to do, and so they washed their hands of it and said, I will have nothing to do with you. Rather than making the conclusion that we live in a sin-soaked world where bad things happen all the time, and most of the bad things happen because we chose it, or someone else chose it. Isn't that the truth? Most of the pain and suffering that we face is because of what somebody else did to us or what we've done to ourselves. We went the direct opposite of what God wanted us to do, where rather than owning that, we have the audacity to blame God for our bad choices and for our bad decisions. Every single one of us here in this room, every single one at a multi-site, every single one watching for me from home, you know what pain is like. Life does not always turn out the way that you hoped that it would. But here's what I'm impressed with you. You're still here. You're still showing up. You're still leaning in towards God. Listen, every single one of us could have a hard heart if we wanted to, because every single one of us has gone through incredible pain. I could have walked away from God. My brother died when he was 5 years old from a brain tumor, cancer. Five years old. My sister was in a terrible car accident at the age of 18. She was in a coma for 30 days. When she finally came to, she had a traumatic brain injury. My sister's never been the same. We had to teach her how to walk and talk, use the restroom, feed herself. My brother died when he was 50 years old in a motorcycle accident. He was dead on the scene. My youngest daughter, Cammy, broke her back when she was 13 years old in gymnastics. So far, I think we're up to surgery number 10. They can't seem to put her back together right. We're searching for another doctor, trying to get an MRI and a CAT scan right now, and the insurance has denied it. And so just like you, we're fighting the insurance to get the proper health care that she so desperately needs in hope that maybe one more doctor at UNM might see her and maybe has the solution to help her. Can I tell you, we prayed for that little girl at least a million times, and we're still waiting. My goodness, one night I was washing dishes and my left ear just closed up. I mean, just like that. It was called sudden hearing loss. So I went to an ENT, an ear, nose, and throat specialist, and I got shots in my ears full of steroids, hoping that my hearing would come back. I asked you to pray. You did. And my hearing, for the most part, returned in my left ear. But wouldn't you know it, 6 months later, my right ear did the exact same thing. And I got the same shots. You prayed. And I can't hear a thing. And I'm telling you right now, I will never wash a dish ever again in my life. That is one of the most dangerous things. You need to pray for whoever's at the sink. I'm just telling you that right now. If we're out and about and you see me from a distance and you shout out my name, Todd, I won't hear you. It's not that I'm stuck up, not that I'm arrogant. Love to talk to you. Love to have a conversation. I can't hear anything out of this ear. I hear about 80% out of this year. What I'm trying to say to you is this: life doesn't always turn out the way you hoped it would. Your prayers aren't always answered the way that you hoped they would be. The circumstance doesn't always change. And you have one of two options when those things happen. You can yell at God and rail at God and say, I want nothing to do with you. You didn't do what I wanted you to do. And you can harden your heart towards him. Or you can let God use the pain to draw you closer to him. God didn't cause the pain. God will use the pain. I have a close relationship with God. You know why? Because of pain. I know I need him. I rely on him for every breath and every move. I rely on him more today than I've ever relied on him before. And pain was my teacher. Did you notice what the scripture says? It says Satan comes and takes this seat away. For the hard-hearted person, you're playing right into the hands of Satan himself. And I just want you to know something. For those of you who think you don't need God, you don't want anything to do with him, just understand this. There's going to be a day you're going to need him really bad. There will be a day you'll breathe your last breath and you'll stand before God on judgment day. And if you didn't confess your sin and trust Jesus and him alone for your salvation, trust me, on that day you'll wish you had of. You'll need him in that day, in that moment in time. If Jesus cracks open the sky and takes Christians to go and be with him and you're left behind, trust me, you'll have the greatest regret that you push Jesus away. So if your heart is hard today because of something that happened to you, soften your heart. Ask God to change your heart of stone into a heart of flesh. Humble yourself before the Lord. Let's go to the second one. It's the shallow heart. This probably represents a bunch more of us. Jesus said, those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. Okay, let me describe this person, see if you can relate to this one. This is the person who gets fired up about Jesus. I mean, they come to service, they see this young, good-looking preacher talking about Jesus. Hey, if I dyed my hair, I'd look 20. I just believe that with all my heart. And they come down for the altar call, and there's preachers at the front, and they want Jesus. They want Jesus' love. They want Jesus' grace. They want Jesus' forgiveness. They are fired up. They go over to the first step room. They're talking to the counselor. They pray, ask Christ in their life. Counselor looks at them and says, hey, now that you've given your life to Christ, as a first act of obedience, kind of a litmus test to show that you really are who you say that you are, Jesus wants you to get baptized. They're like, absolutely, sign me up. And so we do. And then we call them, and we text them, and we tell them everything they need to know and what time to show up for their baptism. You ready for this? 25% of the people who walk forward, who sign up to get baptized, never get baptized. Do you know why that is? It's because after the service is over, after they've asked Jesus in their life, after the emotion is worn off, they're driving home going, what did I just do? It was an emotional decision. There was no root behind it. And so when the opportunity to proclaim their love and obedience to Jesus Christ came rolling around, they opted out of the most basic command of the one who they claim is their Lord and their Savior. I'll give you another one. Of all the people who come forward and they give their life to Christ over in the other room, right? 75% of those people never show up to our next step class. You're a brand new Christian. What do you know about reading the Bible? Nothing. What do you know about prayer? You don't know much. But I put a class together, and it kind of hurts my feelings you don't come to it. I put a class together of the 20 things I wish somebody would have told me when I became a Christian. How do I know I'm forgiven? What do I do when I have those moments when I'm not certain that I'm still a Christian? How do I read the Bible? How do I pray? What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? And how do I allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide my life? What do I do when I'm tempted? What happens after I blow it? You would think these people would be so excited about the things of God that they'd say, I want to know as much about Jesus as I can. You got a class that will tell me some things? That would be awesome. Sign me up. They don't want to go. You want to fix it? 505-922-9200. Stop playing games. Stop playing games with God. Quit saying one thing and doing the other. Don't be shallow. 505-922-9200. You type in the word baptism. We'll call you. We'll text you. We'll get you set up. You show up. You show up for him. And when we give you an opportunity to be in a class where you could become a warrior for Jesus Christ, where you can walk with him and talk with him and understand the decision that you've made, you sign up and then you show up and you put everything you've got into it. You give your best to the one who gave his best for you. 75%. You know what happens to these people? Life gets hard. Life gets difficult. And they begin to fade away. And over all my years of doing ministry, can I tell you, it's thousands of people. I used to go to your church. I used to do this. I used to do that. But they don't do it anymore. Jesus said this, they believe for a little while, but when the time of testing comes, they fall away. How many times you talk to somebody and say, I don't understand it. I gave my life to Jesus. I thought all my problems would go away, and now I've got more problems than I've ever had before. Well, welcome to the Christian life. You've just chosen sides. And you have an enemy, the devil, who prowls around like a roaring lion looking to devour you. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy you. You've become public enemy number one. You say, but I thought when I gave my life to Jesus, I was going to have a happily ever after. That'd be Walt Disney who said that. Jesus said, you're going to have a happily in the ever after. But Jesus said this. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. You take heart. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. Let me tell you what shallow people do. Shallow people never read their Bible. Shallow people only pray when they need something from God. Shallow people never get in a small group. They never serve in a ministry. They never share Jesus with anybody else. Shallow people won't even download the Buddy Check app. Heard a conversation this past week. This person was sharing about how he had invited someone to be their buddy. They're a Christian person. They said, what's it about? They said, well, you read the Bible and you write a little application, something that God taught you, and then you memorize a verse of scripture, and you have a little section to pray. And then we'll hold each other accountable. And if I slack, you nudge me, and if you slack, I'll nudge you. They said, no thanks. I'm too busy. That's what they said. Too busy for prayer, too busy for God's word. Oh, mercy me. And you call yourself a follower of Christ. Shallow people have no root. And when the times of testing come, and they come for everybody, they just fade away. Let me give you the third one. And this is so encouraging. Number three, distracted heart. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Okay, so this is the person who gets distracted along the way. One is life's worries. That can distract you. It's amazing to me the number of people who proclaim that they have a relationship with Jesus, yet they still do life in their own power and their own strength. So you fill your life full of worries and stress and anxiety. Let me remind you, what you're worried about today is what you're trusting yourself for, and what you're praying about today is what you're trusting God with. See, the problem for most folks is that their life's worries and what they have to do, they keep doing it in their own power and their own strength, and they just kind of push Jesus to the side, and then they wonder why they're so exhausted. And then it says riches and pleasures. That'd be another way of saying materialism. We think the stuff of this world will somehow satisfy us. There was a guy who followed the Apostle Paul from town to town, proclaiming Jesus had risen again from the dead. And then one day, this guy, he just leaves Paul high and dry. His name was Demas, and this is what Paul said about him. 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me. Something happened to Demas along the way where secondary things became the most important thing in his life. And that's where a lot of people live today. I mean, many of us are putting 10th-rate things and giving a first-rate commitment to it. And the first-rate stuff, we've got a 10th-rate commitment to it. I mean, some of you become workaholics, and you're busy over here, and you're busy over there, and you got things and deadlines and promotions to go for, and you don't know your spouse anymore. Your kids certainly don't know you, and your soul is parched. My goodness, you feel like God's a million miles away. Well, let me tell you something. God didn't move. You pursued a lesser pursuit. You went after something else, and your soul is paying the cost. Some of you, it's a financial overextension. That's what's choking the life out of you. You want to be generous? You can't be. Why? Because you know the Amazon delivery driver by name, and he pops in every single day. Right now, you're looking at Amazon thinking, I need to hit the button to go ahead and buy this in my cart. Let me tell you something. You can't get enough of what you don't need. Put that on your Twitter. Your soul will never be satisfied with stuff. Stuff just won't do it. Others of you are just too busy. You're running over here and you're running over there, and Jimmy's got this and Becky's got this, and you got to run to this practice and that game and do this, and the seasons have begun, Todd, and it's absolutely chaos at my house, and we're just running over here and running over there, and there's stuff to do at school and stuff to do everywhere. And you haven't been to this place in a long, long time. In fact, this is your first time to come to the parable series. We're in week 5. Your soul will never be fed on speed. What did the Bible say? Be still and know that He's God. Been a long time since you've just been still in His presence, and the life and the joy and the closeness you once had to Jesus is just getting choked out by the world's value system. And then there's the last one, the fully devoted heart. The seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. They love Jesus. Jesus is number one, and everything else pales in comparison. They love the word of God. They spend time praying. They pray for others. They take prayer seriously. They share Jesus with other people. They invite other people to come to church. They're the kind of people that see a need and they meet the need. They do whatever needs to be done. This isn't some game. When they made Jesus their Lord and Savior, that meant that He was their boss and their ruler, and whatever He says, that's what they do. So whatever He wants them to give up, they'll give it up. Whatever He wants them to sacrifice, they'll sacrifice it. Wherever He wants them to go, they'll go. And they have this close relationship with Jesus where they lean on Him and depend on Him because they love Him so very much. It's interesting to me. Just because you know a lot about the Bible doesn't mean you know a lot about Jesus. Who are some of the meanest people you've ever met in your life? For me, it's people in church. They can know 10 times more about Scripture, and yet they're not 10 times more loving. Someone who's fully devoted, they don't just know the Word of God, they live the Word of God. They're 10 times more loving because they know 10 times more. They're 10 times more patient, 10 times more kind. They're 10 times more generous. When they need to repent, they repent 10 times more than the typical person. They're sensitive to sin. They know they haven't arrived. They know that they are a great sinner. But oh, what a great Savior He is. Their hearts beat fast for the things of God. Does that describe you today? Which soil are you? Here's what's going to happen. In just a few minutes, I'm going to end the service. Tim's going to come out, give you an opportunity to make a decision for Christ. You're going to get up, gather your things. Some of you are going to go get your kids. And on the way, wherever you're heading, the biggest thing that's going to go on in your life in just a second is, where am I going to eat? My prayer is that before you put your head on your pillow tonight, you'll contemplate the four soils. Which one are you in? The shallow one? The weedy one? Do you have a hard heart towards God? Or do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and He has changed your life, changed your priorities, changed your direction, and you live for Him and for Him alone? What was the difference between Nero and Paul? Well, Nero did everything he could to try to eliminate the cause of Christ. Paul did everything he could to advance it. Nero cared about his kingdom. Paul cared about the kingdom of God. Nero wanted to leave a legacy, and he left nothing. But Paul left a legacy that lasts forever. You have the chance to be everything that God created you to be. What are you going to do with Jesus? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I've been all these soils in seasons of my life. I remember the hard-hearted years. Those were miserable. I remember the shallow years when I said one thing and I did another. I remember the weedy years when the things of this world were more important to me than your kingdom and your glory. Lord, I also remember the years on good soil. That's where we want to be. That's where real life and real living is. But it's when we pursue you. It's when we put in the sweat and the tears and the sacrifice. It's when we make this more than just a 1 hour on the weekend kind of thing, that you consume every aspect of who we are. And we live our lives to please you and you alone. Lord, I pray that before we put our head on our pillow tonight, we would contemplate which soil we're on. And as you reveal it to us, help us, Lord, to move from the soil that doesn't produce anything to the soil that produces a crop. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.